In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're now on Lesson 34, Extreme Unction and Holy Orders. It's on page 209 in the Catechism. And there is a picture there of our Lord speaking to the good thief, to his right. Saint Dismas was his name. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Sometimes that's called the first plenary indulgence in history. Extreme unction is a special medicine or tonic for the soul. When the body is sick, the soul finds it harder than usual to love God and accept His will. In order to enter heaven, the soul's love must be perfect. This sacrament prepares for this by healing the weakness and sluggishness of love of God, which is left even after the wounds of sin have been healed. Often you hear this extreme unction called the anointing of the sick. We prefer, in the traditional Mass, to use the older name, since it denotes something that is given not lightly, but only for serious reasons. In other words, it is not a sacrament for an upset tummy. Question 443, what is extreme unction? It is the sacrament which, through the anointing with blessed oil by the priest and through his prayer, gives health and grace to the soul and sometimes to the body when we are in danger of death from sickness, accident, or old age. That oil to which the Catechism refers is blessed every year by the bishop of a diocese, or in our case, an archbishop. And there are three different oils. One of them is called the oil of the sick. And he blesses enough of that oil so that in that one year, all the anointings, or the times when extreme unction is given, there is enough oil for all of them. And then they are distributed throughout the diocese to various parishes or, say, hospitals. And notice, one of the benefits is actual physical healing and strength. And perhaps it goes without saying, but it's important to say that God will give physical healing and strength if that is what we most need for the perfection of our interior life. In other words, for salvation. If actual physical healing and strength are not beneficial to salvation, then he won't give them. He does what is best. Hard lessons, but he is the divine physician and knows when to give the healing and when not to. We don't, and we often misuse good physical health and waste it. Question 444, who should receive extreme unction? All Catholics who have reached the use of reason and are in danger of death from sickness, accident, or old age should receive extreme unction. So think of it this way. For each crisis, the sacrament can be repeated. Now, generally, if the faithful request it, and there's no real objection to it, then the priest gives it. Sort of, when in doubt, give it out, kind of a thing. But if someone, say, is going under the knife, that is, some major surgery, and you anoint them before they go into surgery because they might not come out of it, well, if there's still, say, real danger of death after the surgery, well, you don't anoint them again. It suffices for that surgery and for that crisis, if you will. If, on the other hand, after a lengthy stay in the hospital, a new crisis comes along, such as, say, some kind of an infection that is life-threatening, then the priest could anoint again for this new threat, if you will. Question 445. What are the effects of the sacrament of extreme unction? They are, first, an increase of sanctifying grace. Secondly, comfort in sickness and strength against temptation. Third, preparation for entrance into heaven by the remission of our venial sins and the cleansing of our souls from the remnants of sin. Fourth, health of body when it is good for the soul. This means an increase of divine life within us. As St. Paul puts it, even though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. The comfort comes from a deeper realization of the purpose of suffering and the help to bear it which the sacrament gives. St. Peter says, rejoice, insofar as you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, that you may also rejoice with exultation in the revelation of his glory. The strength is strength to resist the devil at a time when he wants to tempt us most to resist God's will. Third, it makes us desire our heavenly home. No one goes there who does not desire it ardently. It strengthens the weakness of our love so that we can have the attitude of St. Paul when he says, knowing that while we are in the body, we are exiled from the Lord. We even have the courage to prefer to be exiled from the body to be at home with the Lord. Number four, if a longer life would prepare the soul better for heaven, then God prolongs life through this sacrament. So like all sacraments, sanctifying grace, that's first, that's the purpose of all the sacraments, to give us sanctifying grace, the very life of God put into our souls. Strength against temptation is very important at a time of grave illness, given that the soul has little strength of its own to pray or to do much of anything. I'm sure you've all experienced that. You get a bad cold and you just don't feel like doing anything. So the cleansing from sin is a huge help in making us spiritually strong. And notice it says that not always is health given. We can turn our physical illness, in other words, into spiritual strength by prayer. The turning of physical illness into spiritual strength, and that can happen by prayer and intention. And while we might not have much power to do good works at the same time, the illness can take away our power to sin. So God grants health of body if it's really needed for salvation. It is always related to salvation. There is a comfort, and that word comfort literally means with strength, a giving of strength. There is a comfort that comes with this, and it lies in doing something with our suffering. Many people, sometimes they simply just lie there and do nothing with their suffering or try to distract themselves with something, say, like television. But if the suffering is offered up, that is consciously united to the suffering of Christ, so that we can be partakers of his suffering, well, then our suffering becomes enormously beneficial to the church and the world. We can offer this up for someone we choose, or in reparation for a sin, or in gratitude for his suffering. St. Teresa of Avila once said, don't even let a cold go to waste. The desire for heaven is absolutely necessary. I saw a translation once that said, quoting our Lord, try to get into the narrow door. Well, very bad translation. The original Greek word was agonizesta, agonize. You have to agonize to get in through the narrow door. We don't saunter, we agonize. And that word, the original word agonize, a wrestler, and they did this kind of combat wrestling in the ancient world. A wrestler was an agonistes, a combatant, if you will. So we have to ardently, and the word ardent, of course, really comes from a word that means to burn. We have to have a burning desire to get into heaven or we won't make it. Question 446. When does extreme unction take away mortal sin? It takes away mortal sin when the sick person is unconscious or otherwise unaware that he is not properly disposed, but has made an act of imperfect contrition. Well, this is simply amazing. If the soul is at all or even slightly sorry for committing a sin. Even if the sorrow was very minimal, even if it's just for fear of going to hell, then the unction or the anointing removes the sin entirely.